Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and we've been discussing this morning the idea that the Bears, well, they blew it. They took the wrong quarterback. They got the they didn't get C.J. Stroud. They got the Bryant Young of 2020. No, we didn't say that. But it was interesting to see how good Jaden Daniels looked last night, and he put together what will go down as the greatest ever performance by a rookie quarterback in terms of completion percentage ever in the history of forever, in the history of the sport known as gridiron. And pretty astounding to see how easy it is for him. They seem to have the right coordinator, maybe even the right head coach. All things that were available to the Bears. What are your conclusions after three games of this season?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels played really well last night. Kind of a bizarre game. I don't believe either side punted. Joe Burrow played, you know, pretty well himself too, but Daniels completing, what, 91% of his passes in the game, and guys, he's at 80.3% for the season. Now, that Cincinnati defense, I think everybody's seen, has got some issues to it, but that was a road game. I mean, really impressive. He certainly has some guys at the skill positions, but it's not like Washington is loaded there. No one's going to look at that offensive line and say, hey, that's a great offensive line. But he's off to a nice start. I wouldn't waste my time passing judgment on Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams at this point. It's so early for both those guys. And reality is they both flashed, because Caleb played well in Indianapolis, all things considered.
So, Brad, the Bears are conducting Zoom teleconferences the day after games. So on Monday, we heard from Matt Eberflus via Zoom, so you don't pick up on some other cues maybe to see his overall demeanor and the way he handled things. But a day later, was he any less tolerant of what he saw against the Colts? Was he less encouraged? I think that was the word that he used after coming from the locker room Sunday. What was your overall impression of the way that Matt Eberflus presented himself on Monday?
Yeah, I think they've realized they've got to be better running the football. They just have to be better running the football. That, you know, recall back to the previous week down in Houston, and he was like, he thought they had run it okay, and you're looking like, really? Were we watching the same game here, man? And there's none of that coming out of this game, and they kind of keep harping on execution. Well, you know, eventually you're going to get to that old, John McKay line, when he was the longtime USC head coach, was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach. And when he was asked about the execution of his team, he said he was in favor of it. So eventually that's going to happen here if these guys don't start running better. Getting better blocking up front, and everybody doing a better job in the run game. It's not just the line. It's not just the backs. It's a total team effort.
So we're trying to remember Cliff Kingsbury. He was, of course, Caleb's quarterback coach in college. Did he get an interview? I know that there was an informational interview with him about Caleb, but was he in the running for the offensive coordinator? He was.
Yeah, they interviewed Cliff Kingsbury for the offensive coordinator job, but Poles and Eberflus were jetting all over the place to interview people for the OC job.
And Clint Kubiak, was he in that mix?
Yeah, that's the guy. If you're looking at it right now, like, well, geez, who did they not hire that maybe would be doing a better job than Shane Waldron right now?
There's two Clint guys Kubiak. Right there that you could point to pretty quickly, Brad. That's a pretty good
list.
Yeah,
like what? And Cliff Kingsbury, I know when that name came out, I think a lot of people poo-pooed it. And yeah, he's done a pretty good job thus far. I mean, it's super early. We're three games in. But they talked to him about the Bears' job, and then obviously we're able to do some fact-gathering in terms of Caleb Williams, because Cliff had spent the one season with Lincoln Riley there at USC, working with the offense, obviously. So, yeah, they talked to a ton of people. There might have been 10 guys that they talked to, perhaps even a few more. I don't know. It was like the list just kept going on and on and on and on. Waldron was one of the first guys that they spoke to. And, they got to get things going. They are they've got 3 points in the first quarter this season, which ties them with this Sunday's opponent, the L.A. Rams, for second worst in the league. The Philadelphia Eagles, believe it or not, have not scored in the first quarter this season. Although, with that, I'm going to bring some positive news. The Bears have scored 30 points in the fourth quarter, which is number one in the NFL. Who would have thought that after you watched them so far, would you say, hey, man, these guys have... Yeah, they've scored some in the fourth quarter, but you go look at it, and nobody scored more points in the fourth quarter than the Bears.
You're just a ray of sunshine this morning. That's very optimistic look at it, Biggsy. Glass half full, as usual. While we're playing this game of going back and reconsidering things that didn't happen.
Let's go.
Dan Quinn was also a finalist when Matt Eberflus got the job. Jim Caldwell, Dan Quinn, and Matt Eberflus. Flusie got the job over those three, but Quinn was somebody who was considered, passed over. I know he may be technically pulled out, but didn't he want the job?
Yeah, he was the Cowboys defensive coordinator at the time, and I would think that he would have wanted the job if the Bears would have wanted him. There, you know, everybody knows what happened in his first run as a head coach in Atlanta, and if that Super Bowl ends a little bit differently. His tenure there probably goes differently, but you won't come across a guy or many guys anyway in the league that are more revered and respected than Dan Quinn. Like, I don't know that I've ever encountered someone that's got a bad word to say about him. Like, that's how he treats people. And when I say people, I mean players. I mean coaches that he works with, staff members in the building, people on other teams. Like, he's an exceptional guy and took it. That is a challenging job he took in Washington, right? When you consider everything that's gone on there for 25, 30 years and the state of the roster and all that. And it'll be interesting to see if they can get it going there, because every time you think the Commanders have maybe taken a step forward or two, you wait a little while and it turns out they're right back where they've always been. But they've got new ownership, new leadership, and Dan Quinn's the man there. But there are a lot of people pull for a guy like Dan Quinn. I'll tell you that much.
So, Brad, the Rams coming to town. We know that Sean McVay out in L.A. said that Cooper Kupp's ankle will not allow him to play in Chicago. He will not be a part of that game. We know that Puka Nacua is on injured reserve. He will be unable to play. So we know that that you got the head coach, you got the quarterback, the receiving corps is beaten up, and they're coming off a victory over an equally injured San Francisco 49ers team. What do you think of them coming to Chicago and And they finally got off the snide with their first win of the season against the Niners.
Yeah, that's a really beat-up football team right now, guys. They've got
three offensive linemen down, right?
Yeah, they've got offensive linemen down. They've got their top two wide receivers are hurt. They've got, I think, some defensive linemen are down. Like, they've got this kind of injured reserve situation that you look at and say, well, that looks like a team that's pretty beat up in the first week of December, right? And, yep. And we're still in September. So they're in a tough spot there, but that's a really well-coached team, right? And you have to respect what they can get done. The Bears have had a tough time against the Rams when they have had to play in L.A. recently, but that game will be here, and you know, we'll see. It's just it's hard to get a close read, I think, on a team like that has so many key players out. But Stafford's playing at a high level, even with his receivers that are missing right now. And Kyren Williams has been a productive back. If the Bears can do a better job of stopping the run than they did this past week, perhaps they can get after Stafford a little bit.
Their leading receiver was Tutu Atwell. 4 catches, 93 yards against the 49ers.
Yeah, Louisville. I think he's a Louisville guy,
yes,
isn't he?
He's a like Louisville guy. Good memory, Brad.
A lot of speed and quickness.
Yeah, they have a pretty pedestrian receiving core, though. But with Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, you don't underestimate anybody. And the Bears certainly are not in a position to do that. Brad, let's look at the offensive line for the Bears, though. We talked earlier whether or not Nate Davis was benched or it was injury-related because he wasn't able to practice. What do you think they do this week? Do they stick with Matt Pryor at right guard, and does it matter?
Oh, boy. Well, it all matters, as poorly as they've been playing on the O-line. Although, you know, I got information that Pryor was going to start on Saturday. I think it was Saturday.
Yep, nice job.
And I put it on Twitter. And, boy, the reaction, you thought the people were assuming the Bears were putting a Pro Bowl guy in there and Matt Pryor, and I'm not knocking him, but there's a reason a guy like that's on a one-year deal for a little less than $1.2 million. So we've got a question at right guard. I'm not positive he's the solution, but I think they need to evaluate how he played. I know he gave up one sack, I believe, in the game, and determine who's better. And then where's Nate in terms of his health? Like, is the groin better? Is that still an issue? They need to get Bates back there sooner rather than later to be able to see him. They need Larry Borum healthy. They need their guys healthy so they can truly have some more options there. But they've got to be better across the board. It's just it's been really poor.
I'm curious, the Nate Davis...
And the guys, the Rams are getting trampled in terms of run defense.
Well,
we've heard that before.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I know.
You have the speed option left.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 5.1 yards a carry is what they're giving up.
The Bears can fix that.
Right down at the bottom. Mm.
The Bears will come to the rescue.
I know.
Does the Nate Davis, is it a groin injury? Is it preventing him from practicing? And are they now at a point where they don't want him to play unless he practices? What is going on with him?
Yeah, limited in practice.
Yeah,
he was limited in practice last week, but it wasn't to a point that he couldn't go out there because you saw they had a choice there, right? Brian Amagaji was active for the first time, so he had a uniform on, and when Braxton Jones went down and was in the medical tent with that knee issue, what they did was they took Matt Pryor, who's one of the nice things about him is he can play just about anywhere on that line, and they moved him to left tackle, and Nate Davis came in the game at right guard, so he was healthy enough to be in there. He's probably just not 100%. So they chose that route instead of taking the rookie third-round pick and saying, hey, we're on the road. You didn't play any preseason. Go get them and good luck.
So, Brad, being the voice of reason and guy who is plugged in, help us add some context, or how do you answer the question? Maybe you'll get it in the mailbag this week, of how Chicago should view Justin Fields starting 3-0 with the Steelers and why he looks like a better quarterback when he is wearing that black helmet.
Yeah, I probably need to talk to some people about that. I've seen clips and stuff. I haven't watched every Steelers game, but he's eliminating some of the turnovers, right? And they've been in some low-scoring games, and they've come out on top. But I don't know that he's playing great when you really get into it. But a 3-0 start with Russell Wilson being the other option, if they keep playing good football, you have to have complete faith that that Mike Tomlin will stick with Fields and he'll continue to be the guy for the Steelers.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think there's so many, fun storylines to look at and all that, but all anybody really cares about is when they're going to kind of get their act together a little bit. Is there anything that they can do to help Fields throw fewer passes, be more effective in how he's used? It's one thing to come out and say, well, we don't want to take the aggression out of him, but you got to protect the ball. And it's another thing to actually do things to help him. I mean, would lining up at the line of scrimmage and trying to run the football help? They have an identity. The identity is throwing the ball pretty much every time that they have a chance to.
Yeah, I think I mentioned yesterday, like, it wasn't quite as lopsided as it's normally going to be when you see a QB with 50-plus pass attempts, because they had so many offensive plays, right? They had 84 offensive plays, so I think there were 27 handoffs. But they certainly need to be more balanced. And hopefully with some of that balance will come some more explosive plays, because they didn't as much as they threw the ball, they didn't throw it as well as they needed to, right? They didn't have enough points. They didn't have enough yardage. But, guys, dropping back and slinging it 50 times is a recipe for losing. When you look, this is just since 2015, quarterbacks with 50-plus passing attempts in a non-overtime game, 23 wins, 141 losses.
Wow.
So your winning percentage right there is a cool 14%. So it's even worse than the White Sox.
Wow.
Okay.
Whoa.
Now, the other thing here is the Bears were slinging it in a close football game, right? That thing was not a blowout. Sometimes you see the quarterback's got a ton of passing attempts because the team's trying to play catch up. 41 of those losses, 25% of them were for teams that lost by 14 or more points. That wasn't the case here. So the Bears were in the game. They had to keep throwing it because they couldn't run it at all. And the reality is they need to be better throwing it too. If you're going to complete that many passes, attempt that many, you need more yardage, but even more importantly, you need more points. And a big chunk of the production came, or a sizable portion, was the 42-yard Hail Mary to DJ Moore.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. Thank you, Biggsy.
Great
Thank
stuff,
you,
Brad.
Buddy.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. We've